But when we look at what the Bible says about being called, I'll just back up to my title right here. God is calling you through the gospel. And that was our scripture reading this morning from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. You're being called through the gospel. That is how God calls us. He calls us through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. He has sent Christ for that purpose. And when you're looking for meaning and ultimate purpose in your life, when you don't know what else to do, this is what you do. You follow God. You follow Christ because God is calling you through Him for something much greater than all the things in this world. You might look at your life and think, you know, this is my purpose. And sometimes when we sit out and say, this is my purpose, it may fall apart. It might be that we value ourselves by how our family values us. And our family might fall apart. And you might feel degraded and low. But God still loves you, and He's still there by your side, and He's still calling you to a higher purpose. And I hope that we will think about that as we read these scriptures. What am I doing with my life? Am I following God? Am I listening to Him as He calls out to me? We're going to go a little bit further into details in that this morning. So in this study this morning, I thought, you know, I have been doing a greater extensive kind of exposition, diving into these texts. This is going to be it right here. We're going to look at these three verses right here, and then we're going to look at a number of passages on what the Bible says about being called by God throughout the Scriptures, and I think you'll find it very edifying. I was looking over my sermons, and this is one of my favorite ones to preach, but I haven't preached it in like 5 years. And I got to redo it in the context of what we've been studying this week, and so I very much appreciate that, to be able to do that. All right, so look at verses 13 through 15. Paul saying to this church, he spoke to them in 1 Thessalonians, it's about AD 51. Paul's in the middle of his second missionary journey, and here he is writing them again. And what you'll see is there's a little bit different tone in 2 Thessalonians. But the main point and what we read here sounds a lot like 1 Thessalonians, but you'll see it right now. Let's read it. Verse 13. But we must always thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord. And just a comment there real quick. Paul, you see his love for the church, his commitment, his closeness, how much he cares for them. He doesn't want this new church to just disappear, to fall away. He wants them to stay grounded. Let's keep reading. Because from the beginning, God has chosen you for salvation through sanctification. Okay, the word sanctification means the making you holy, making you sanctified, making you consecrated, making you godly like God. And so that's the idea of sanctification, that we are made saints. So from the very beginning, God has chosen you. He has chosen us. Those who love Him and are faithful to Him are chosen for salvation through being made holy by the Holy Spirit and through belief in the truth. And if you're looking at your life and saying, I wish I could live a holy life, I don't know how I can do it or what I'm going to do, is God that makes you holy, and He does it through His Holy Spirit, and He does it by your faith, the word belief there, faith in the truth. Sanctification being made holy by the Holy Spirit and through faith in the truth. In other words, my belief in the gospel and God's word, that's what's going to keep me grounded and firm and moving in the right direction. Let's keep reading. He called you to this through our gospel. In other words, through our preaching of the gospel, the good message, the glad tidings of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, God is calling you. When you hear sermons and you think, I need to hear that. When you read a scripture and you think, I need to hear that. There's a reason for that, because God is always, He is calling us through His word to obey. Keep reading. So that you might obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe this is a reference to the eternal glory of salvation, eternal life that is given to us through Jesus Christ. God's calling you through the gospel so that you can have eternal life. That's a blessing and a wonderful thing to be a part of. Now, I hope we never overlook that. That we never think, well, okay, I'm a Christian and I got church, but you know, I also got my family life and I've got work life. No, no. Your life given to Christ, it's a part of work and school. It's a part of your family life. It's a part of what you do when you wake up in the morning, when you go to sleep at night. It's every part of your being. You're being called to this wonderful thing. And then Paul says, therefore, brothers. He's endearing to them. The Christian Standard Bible says brothers and sisters. And I like that translation there. Captures it even more what he's saying. Therefore, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold to the traditions you were taught. So there are traditions in the Bible. We talked about this before. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 2, where Paul says, hold to the traditions. And he says, maintain the traditions just as I have delivered them to you. What traditions? Well, if you're thinking about the early church here, what traditions would they have been given? They would have been given the reading of the Old Testament scriptures. They would have been given the Lord's Supper, which we have participated in this morning. They would have been given the tradition of baptism, things that you would reflect upon even if you didn't have the written gospel in front of you, that as you think about the life of Christ, you think about those things that have been passed down to you, they shape us. This morning as we reflect on the Lord's Supper, we think about that gospel that originally compelled us to be baptized, to become Christians and disciples of Christ. And so Paul says, I don't want you moving anywhere. Stand firm, hold to the traditions you were taught, either by our message or by our letter. So whether you're getting it in writing from me, and he's anticipating and even writing now that these letters are going to be passed around, that they're going to be published, that's what ancient people did. There's a lot of people, whatever they did in their life, those writings, even Roman officials, as they would write to the emperor, they would publish those writings. And so here we have letters from Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and here they are, in message or in letter, you keep the traditions as they've been taught. Here's some quick observations, what I'm reading from the text, some things you might see further. If you see something else I don't touch on here, I appreciate you bringing it up to me. But God loves everyone. I meant to change this. He's talking specifically about everyone, as in everyone in the church, and he has chosen them to be saved from the beginning, those who are in the church. God saves by holiness of the Spirit and by faith of the truth. We emphasize that. God calls everyone by the gospel. That's why we preach the gospel and we proclaim it, that Jesus died for you and he's buried and he rose again. And therefore, Paul reasoned that Christians must hold to the God-given traditions. We cannot compromise what God has given us. We can't give up on his commands. And what the Bible says, we maintain them. We keep them. We hold to them. We stand on them. So we see this, brethren, this morning. You're called by the gospel, called by Jesus Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. But for what? Okay, I'm called. I'm called to be saved. I see the gospel is what's calling me. I feel compelled to be devoted to Jesus Christ and to God. But to what end? What do I do now? When we continue to look at the scriptures and what the Bible says, many are called, Jesus said, but few are chosen. Luke chapter 5, I believe that's verse 32. We think about that. Well, what steps do I take next? You know, there are many people who reason today that they cannot live perfectly, and so they won't fully commit to following Jesus. I hear that a lot. People will say, I'm not going to be a part of the church or involved in it because I just can't live up to that standard. What standard? But no, you can't be perfect. None of us can. We're going to sin. We're going to stumble. Well, that's why we need the grace of Christ. And I like the illustration of describing the church as a hospital for sick people, because that's what we're here for. We're sick and struggling and we're helping and treating one another. And it is God who's blessed us, who's healed us. And so that kind of thinking is always, it's kind of a disturbing thought. And I hope that people would not allow that to restrict them from coming into the church. But God has called us by the gospel, and he's called us to be holy. But we need to also realize that if we do commit to him and we do devote ourselves to him, he's the one who's going to make us holy. And I hope that we will not allow that kind of thinking to restrict our work in the church. Well, I don't want to be too involved because I'm just not that kind of person. I can't be that perfect person. I can't be holy. Well, definitely not. The Bible even says, let none of you be teachers because you're going to stumble in what you say. And that's very true. I can't count the number of times that I've stumbled in the words that I've spoken, even before others. And that's in James chapter 3, verse 1. So I hope that we don't limit ourselves like that. So as we ask the question, are you good enough? Can you live up to being a Christian and a follower of Christ? Well, listen, here's the truth. If you already think you're righteous and that you're going to be saved because of how good you are, that's self-righteousness. You're saying, God, I don't need your grace and forgiveness, and I really don't need Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. You're just denying the whole calling at this point by that kind of thinking. And that brings to my mind what Jesus said. I've come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the foremost of sinners. And so there's no room for self-righteousness. When we come to the church, we come as sinners. When we are obeying the gospel, yes, we've committed these trespasses, and only the blood of Christ can wash away those sins. We come to Christ converted, repenting, changing our minds and our thinking because of our faith in Him. And so when Jesus says this, yes, He came to call sinners. And Christ has made the point that He is a physician to the sick, not to the well. And so if you don't see that you're a sinner, if you don't see that you're sick in need of a physician, you're not going to go to Him. And I think a lot of people today think that's in that sense. They don't come to the church. They don't get involved. They don't read their Bibles. They're not committed in following Christ because they don't see the sins. They don't see what they have been sinned, that they've been saved from. Or they're ignoring it is what I really think is behind that. This, again, the self-righteous, they don't see any need for God's grace. But I thank God for it. I thank God that I'm saved by His grace and by His mercy, that He does forgive me, that I don't have a responsibility to balance out the scales because Christ has done it. He has lived the holy life. And what I need to do is follow Him, and He'll wash away my sins. Be committed and devoted to Him. Come by that calling to Him. And so when we hear that calling of Christ, it is a calling to repentance. The calling that is through the gospel. And I thank God that He's given us eternal life if we would accept it. So everyone is called. We're called to repent. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus says the gospel is going to go forth. It's going to start in Jerusalem. And a part of that gospel is repentance. The word repent in Greek is metanoia. Meta meaning change. Noia meaning your mind or your thinking. The way you think, the way you perceive, everything changes. And as we apply it today, we often talk about repentance as turning around. Well, that's definitely a part of it because you have a number of scriptures that say repent from dead works. Repent from sin. You're turning away from them in your thinking, in your heart, in every part of your being. And so Jesus said in Luke 24 to His disciples after He rose from the dead, He says, repentance is going to be preached in all the world. It's a part of the gospel. Acts 2:38, we remember that we've got to repent before we are baptized. We change the way we're thinking. And it is at that point that we have the forgiveness of sins. Again, Peter emphasizes that in chapter 3 of Acts in verse 19. Saying that our sins are blotted out because we come to Him in repentance. In Acts 17 and verse 30, Paul preaches there in Areopagus and he says, God once overlooked ignorance. He once overlooked agnosticism, but no longer. No longer. He calls all men everywhere to repent, to follow Him. That's what we're called to do. We're called to repent. That's a part of the calling of the gospel, to repent and be baptized. Another part of the calling of why we're called by the gospel is it is a holy calling. Jesus Christ, who's holy and without sin, no sin in His life, so He's able to stand in our place, to die in our stead, and to resurrect. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. There's that stumbling in tongue I mentioned before. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul says in his last letter, God has saved us, and He's called us with a holy calling. And it is a holy calling. He's called us for something greater, more significant in our life, to live a holy life. Not according to our own works, but according to His own purpose. God wants a holy people. And Peter says that throughout 1 Peter. He says, I want a holy people who are holy in the way that they live and their conduct. That they're set apart from the rest of the world. And he says, not according to their works, but it's according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. God had that plan from the very beginning. As Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, God calls us to glory and virtue. We see this also about the calling of the gospel, that God calls us out of darkness. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen generation. He's talking about the church. The church is a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who Why are we proclaiming the praises of God? Why are we evangelizing? Why are we sharing our faith with others? Because He has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Notice that, called us out. Does that sound familiar? Well, if you're thinking ahead, wait a minute. I'll get to that point. Yes, He's called us out. Called us out of darkness. Then we can say to others, yes, I lived in darkness and I lived in sin, and it is God who saved me. It is God and the gospel that has changed my life. It is the gospel that has called me. He says, He's called us out of light, who were once not a people, but are now a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Thank God for that. That's a wonderful thing. And that's the blessings of the gospel. That's what we're called to be as God's holy people. He's called us to a changed life. I was talking to our kids yesterday, and we're going through the songs, the Fruit of the Spirit song. And if you don't know the Fruit of the Spirit song, I wish you could learn it. Even though it's a kid's song, if you want to learn the fruits of the Spirit, all nine of them, you learn that song. And you can go over to Galatians chapter 5 and read about the fruits of the Spirit. But there they are. And I asked the kids, I said, isn't this the life you want? Don't you want a life full of love and joy and peace, patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? And so we emphasize, if you're an apple, that's not the fruit of the Spirit, and that's part of the song. Or whatever fruit they might throw out there. But this is the blessing of being called by the gospel, is to a changed life, to these wonderful things that are given to us by the Holy Spirit that you are not going to have without Jesus Christ, that you're not going to have without the gospel. You could spend your whole life saying, you know what, I'm going to try to do it on my own, God. I'm going to pursue love on my own and joy and peace and everything else and goodness, and you're not going to get it. You can't have it without God. You're called by the gospel to something greater, something wonderful. Called to eternal life, and you're called through the grace of Jesus. Let's continue looking at these passages here. Those who recognize that God has called them by the gospel, they see the power and the wisdom of God in Jesus Christ. They see how Christ changes think. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is about that. That the gospel of Jesus Christ subverts all the world's wisdom. Everything that you could study in school and get an education in, and as much as you can try to leave God out of it, which is really impossible, but many try to do that in a secular environment. It's not, you can't do that. And so the gospel of Christ, the message of Jesus, is higher, and Christ is a part of everything. I could get more into that, but I'm going to save that for another time. But look right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 23-24. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, those who are called, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So the Greeks are looking for, they're thinking it's foolishness, but this really is the wisdom of God. And the Jews are looking for signs, but this is the power of God, that Jesus died. And tonight we're going to have a lesson on chapter 15 and His resurrection as well. The whole gospel. And when you're called by the gospel, you revere it and you see how wonderful it is. Go a little bit further in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we see this. He's called the lowly of the world. Who are we? I think about my past and my family name. I've been told by my grandfather that my great-grandfather came over from England near Wales, and he wasn't a very good man, and neither was the woman he was married to. And I look back through my life, there, I don't know of any royalty in my bloodline or anything. I remember my parents tell me I was born in Montgomery, Alabama, and they brought me home to the trailer that they lived in. And I guess that'd be kind of a humble way of our lives. And many of us, we might look back and say, you know, I'm not a great or significant person. But God calls you. Christ is calling you by the gospel. And I think it's interesting because we have so many people in the world and so many authorities and powers in the world. But what are they compared to Jesus Christ and to God? And here we are, the low people, and we've been blessed with the gospel. We've been called by it, called to something great, to shame those high things in the world that reject God, those people in high positions who deny him. Look at what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26 to 27. He says, "For consider your calling, brothers." Paul emphasizing that. "Consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. You weren't the most educated. Not many of you were powerful. You weren't in those positions of authority. It says, not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong." Does it matter what your illnesses are? If your body is weak, and you're a lowly person that most people ignore, God loves you, and He's called you by the gospel, and He's given you a greater purpose. And if you follow Him, He's going to give you eternal life. But those, no matter all the great things that they might have in this life, if they deny Him, they can't get it. There's no way you can buy eternal life. There's no great amount of deeds that you can accomplish. There's no amount of things that you can do on the battlefield in defense of our rights as a country that's going to save you. It is Christ who saves you. The believers are called by the gospel, and we're called also into a body, into a family, into the church. And so if you've gotten ahead of me, you already know where I'm going here. The word for church in Greek is ekklesia, sometimes pronounced ekklesia. Ekklesia has two words in it, and they're up here on the screen. I'll put the Greek word transliterated. Right here, E-K means ek, means out. This right here, the ending of it, the K-L, E-I-S-I-A, klesia means called. It even sounds like called. So when we talk about the church being the called out, that's the word right there. And we're called out of our homes, and we're called out into the community. That's the idea where that word came from. It wasn't just the word that Christians came up with. The word existed before then, but it means people are called out of their homes for a purpose. And when we call the church what it is, a body, a congregation of people, an ecclesia, we're called out for something. We have a purpose and why we gather together as a church. We're called into the kingdom. We're part of something wonderful. And I don't think we should ever underestimate or put down or degrade the church. I don't think we should ever speak badly about elders or deacons or about anybody in the congregation. We need to go to them one-on-one if we need to. But think about that. I don't want anybody speaking wrong, especially openly before my face, about my wife, my bride. And why in the world would we speak against the bride of Christ? Against His church. And degrade it. Because the church is important. We're part of those who are called out, called by the gospel, called to something wonderful. Christians are called to unity. If you go and you read in Ephesians 4, if we had time this morning, we could get into details of this, but He's called us to unity. He says you can be united when you're lowly and you're gentle and you bear with one another in love. You're called to be a part of this body, to be united. This is what we've seen this morning, brethren. You can't get away from what the Scriptures are saying as far as the calling. It's throughout the New Testament. We're called by the gospel. We're called as sinners to be forgiven. We're called to repentance. We're called into our lives, our minds, and our hearts, and be devoted to God. At the revealing of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that those who are called, the faithful, we're called to be in fellowship with Jesus Christ, and it's going to be eternal. That eternal life in a redeemed body, a glorified body, I thank God for that. That's what gives me hope and stirs me. I think about what Christ accomplished through the gospel that calls me the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I'm not going to move from it, and I'm not going to give it up because we've been called to this. Look at our last passage this morning. I think it's our last. We might have one more. 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 9. "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this." Love one another. Do these wonderful things because you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. You will inherit eternal life. That's what we're called to. Peter says further in 2 Peter chapter 1, 10 through 11, he says, "Therefore, brethren, be more diligent to make your call and election sure. If you do these things, you will never stumble." For that passage, we're going to offer the invitation this morning. If you're compelled by the gospel, if you think and you reflect upon Christ's death on the cross and it stirs you and it compels you, as Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, that it should change our lives, our thinking, our faith, everything about who we are. We encourage you this morning that you hear it, that you believe it, that you repent of your sins, that you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and that He rose from the dead, and be baptized. Make your call and election sure. Stay faithful to your Creator. Stay faithful to Christ who died for you and rose again. This morning, if you want to obey the gospel, you can do that. We'll pray with you, we'll study with you so that you can be baptized into Christ and rise up into the newness of life. If you need prayers and encouragement, if you're struggling in your life to live up to that holy calling, we want to help you with that as well. We encourage you to come right now while we stand and while we sing.